You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome to episode 22 of
22.
The Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle. And I'm joined today, as always, by the greatest value, Chad Graham.
Chad Graham. Hey, Tommy Stickle. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing really well today. How are you doing?
Tuesday. I'm good.
Recording on Tuesday, January 7th.
Right before the LSU game.
So
you
yes.
could be listening to this, and Arkansas may have lost. But we haven't lost yet.
Right. It's going to be a tough game.
I'll get to my prediction later.
Going to be tough.
Tough game, but a great game on Saturday against Texas A&M, Tommy.
Tell me
took
about
the family.
It,
took my kids. Took both my kids. Maybe a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. It was full. I heard somewhere that it was the most people in Bud Walton Arena since 2009, when they honored the national championship team against Georgia. Ironically, I was at that game as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that time. I know. But it was a lot of people. It felt like I've been to the Kentucky game at Bud Walton Arena for the past couple of times it's happened here, and it felt like that game. Like, that game is the only one that the upper deck is full, and you can't walk. Like, in the best way to describe it, like in the concession stand area where you're walking around the arena, you're like this, like you're shoulder to shoulder with everybody. You can't get through. It's crazy. I'm like, this is Texas A&M. They stink, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was so cool to have that. So super tough with a 6 and 4 year old navigating through all of that.
Ooh, very. But it's always scary too when you have little kids, because you know nowadays everybody, you just have to like hold on to them super tight, and you never want to be separated. Like,
yeah,
30, 40 years ago, you'd just be like, just let them, just let them roam.
People are crazy though. People are really crazy, and so Kendall, our kids are used to going to football games where there's no one there. We can just go say hi to the mascots. We can go walk down to the bleachers. And she's trying to tell me, hey, I want to go see Suey Pig. I want to go see Big Red. I want to go see Porkchop. I'm like, hey, ain't happening tonight. Like, we're not leaving the seat.
Yeah.
Like, you're staying here. I'm going to the concession stand. There was an actual wait. Like, I haven't experienced this at basketball or football in a long time. And so, like, those things that were kind of nice whenever we didn't have a crowd and we stunk, you know, like, but still found $10 parking right across the street from the arena. So felt good
nice.
About that.
Were you able to take the MUS bus?
No. And we got the app because we were going to park for free and do that whole thing. It's too confusing. I don't understand it.
I think I would be confused by it too. I just knew that that was a thing.
It's a good idea. It's a great idea. The lot was full in the north parking lot, north end zone of the football stadium. But that's a long walk, especially it was kind of cold. And that's a haul with the two kids, so just by myself. So I paid $10, and I was across the street from the Bud, and everything was good.
So tell everyone that's listening your kids' ages and what their favorite thing about the game was. Like, what was the...
I asked them this. Yeah, I asked them what the favorite part was, because I mean, it's an investment. They're 6 and 4. One's in kindergarten. One's in my preschool. Yeah, I asked them, like, what was your favorite part? Halftime show was their favorite part. They had some guys. Did you see them with the trampoline? You've probably seen the show. The guys, like, use a trampoline to do crazy dunks and stuff. That was their favorite part. But I will say, although that's what they verbalized, both of them said, the 4-year-old, he kept saying it was too loud in there. Then I told him, I said, hey, you can scream as loud as you want to in here and not get in trouble. And he thought that was the coolest thing. So he was just screaming head
That's
off.
Awesome. Was he screaming at appropriate times or just at random times?
Yeah. It's funny you say that because he would scream with everyone. And then he would say he would scream when it was quiet. And he goes, it's okay to scream when it's quiet too. Like, yeah, it is.
That's awesome.
He would just scream go hogs at the top of his voice.
If you did that as much as he did, your voice would just, you wouldn't be able to speak for a week probably.
Yeah.
That's how my voice works, at least. I feel like
he kept saying he couldn't catch his breath.
Screaming too hard, Dad. I'm just screaming because I can. That's pretty cool.
It's fun. It was a good game. Good atmosphere. But I will say, I don't know if you've heard about crowd reactions, and I feel like we have like this, these elitists here about Bud Walton Arena. Well, it wasn't like it was in the good old days still. Mm-hmm. I will say the crowd, they did seem a little out of sync. Like, and I mean, to their defense, there wasn't a great stretch where Arkansas just really had a big play and a lot of momentum carried.
Oh yeah.
Because Buzz Williams did a great job of eliminating that and really getting a bucket to kill it. And he did a great job of subbing in and out so that he was big on offense, but he was small on defense. So he had the mismatch on offense, and he was subbing in and out as much as he could. But there were a couple moments in the second half where it got loud. And it was like, especially when we pulled away, got some of those hustle plays and those turnovers. It was good. It was good. Good experience.
Excellent. Yeah, I've been hearing, I think it was Mike Irwin on his Ask Mike segment. I don't know what somebody asked him, but basically just kind of asked him about the Bud Walton, you know, environment versus what, you know, years past it is like. And he basically critiqued kind of all of the weird, you know, Whataburger things that they'll do, but in timeouts and different things. And it's like, you know, in the good old days, it would just be like the band playing during timeouts, and then people would run around and like hype people up. There was some person that apparently would go find people that were still sitting and make them stand up. It made me think of, I know, I think everyone listening knows that I'm a Nashville Predators fan. If you've ever been to a game there, you know that almost every game, the fans find a TV timeout where there's just kind of a momentum swing, a big play happens, maybe it's a good save by Pecorine or something like that, and the crowd just stands through an entire TV timeout. Yeah. And they're cheering, like it's not just standing, it's just
louder.
Yeah, it is. It's really neat if you're in the crowd experiencing that. And of course,
cool.
You know, you can't just make that happen at Bud Walton, but man, that would be pretty cool. If
let me get that started.
Hey, I don't know, I think everybody's kind of dying or like craving for
it.
That like they're craving for someone to take control of it, because I feel like it needs just a leader at this point. Somebody needs to make the chance, just make the environment just chaotic or in the best possible way.
Yeah, people want it, like, and it felt good. It felt so good just to, like, when it got loud and everyone was excited, it's like, oh, we're excited again. But like, I think the students, obviously school's not in session yet, so maybe when they're back in, hopefully they can take some of that responsibility over. But I'll say this, the number one buzz killer that I've seen in the past is the Vold Vision parachute drop.
Ugh.
It's the worst.
What
is the worst? I think it's a media timeout. What it is, someone sponsored, it's like a optometrist, whatever, and there's these little parachutes that just fall from the rafters. I don't even know what the gifts are, like a t-shirt, I don't know. But like, I remember at the A&M game, a huge play had happened, like there was so much momentum, crowd was going nuts, and then it just air was taken out and the stupid parachute things come out, and everyone's like, what? So
does it like make
a
noise or anything when they
start? It's completely silent. It's just everyone watches these parachutes just fall.
That makes sense why that would kind of take everyone's attention. Like, you have to pay attention because stuff's falling from the ceiling. Anytime something falls from the ceiling, you gotta stop what you're doing and like see if it's coming near you, because everyone's stupid. When something frees coming your way, you're gonna fight for it. Maybe even fight to make blank somebody bleed for. I don't know why it's like our most primitive part of our brain just turns on when something frees coming at us, and we'll push a kid out of the way just to get a free double XL shirt for some reason. But yeah, I can imagine how just like having to wait like a minute for something to slowly drift down on the crowd would just kind of make it a weird environment. Like, shoot, make something like explode. Make like shoot something. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that would help.
That crowd experience you're talking about with the Predators, though, it's so cool during the timeout. Just gets louder. I feel like it just kind of climbs. So it needs something. It's missing something. It can get there. Shifting into the game, can we say we found Arkansas's identity? Do we know what this team is?
I feel like we're getting close to it if we haven't already. I don't think it's going to change at this point.
I think we're there. Like, we know, and Mus has said it too. It's not a secret. At last 8 minutes of the game, Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones are going to have the ball. Like, yep. They're going to score.
It's going to be them.
Desi Sills is the hustle guy. He's going to make some transit. I mean, we, like you mentioned before, we need a transition guy bad. Desi can do it, but we missed that Jalen Barford where it's like,
ooh,
he's down the break. Like you mentioned that before. He's scoring.
I love Jalen Barford. He was my guy.
On the first break, that guy is scoring. Jimmy Witt's the guy who's just going to – he's consistent. He's going to make plays on the inside. Adria's going to be our defensive guy. And Jalen Harris, he doesn't really have an identity.
Yeah, he's a key player, but I don't know. He's one of those behind the scenes or, you know, like on the court behind the scenes kind of guy. I think he makes an impact, but it just never feels like he is. But kind of going back to what you were saying about different players, I know Buzz Williams' post-game little presser where he answered some questions, a couple players that he called out specifically, one was Jimmy Witt, and he said that he's the guy that whenever things are a little bit sloppy or a little bit chaotic, like Isaiah and Mason aren't doing, you know, or a little bit off or things are a little bit out of rhythm, he was like, Jimmy Witt is the guy that always brings it back. You know, he gets it back. Like he'll make something out of nothing and, you know, shoot like a short jumper and make it or something. He's kind of he calms the storm, so to speak. He's kind of that like mature veteran presence that's like essential with that.
It's like those moments of scoring droughts we would have with Mike Anderson. We wouldn't score for 10 minutes and you just could not get a bucket. Jimmy goes in there and he makes that happen. And they seem so elusive at the time. Like, we just can't score.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to do it for some reason. Yep. And Desi Sills, he pointed out as he didn't necessarily like it to say he was pesky, but he just said he's just pesky. You know, that's the word for Desi. He's a guy that even though he's going to miss plenty of three-pointers at this point, we know he's going to, it's like they still have to account for him and pay attention to him. And he seems like the guy that always knocks the ball away or just causes chaos somehow, you know?
Big play. Yeah, he does. He causes disruption. You got to have that guy. He's just fun. He's fun to root for.
I really like him as well. And
Reggie Chaney's got to find an identity, man.
Yeah, I looked at the stat sheet after the game. He's the only Razorback that got minutes that had a negative plus minus. He was negative 6 points when he was on the court. He just got to figure it out, I guess. You know, find his identity. Maybe that's the way to phrase it. Find his role on the team. This was a weird game, though, I think, from, you know, there were long stretches where we had five guards the whole time. I don't know enough about basketball or watch enough about basketball to know how common that is, but that can't be common because I think it takes a really brave coach to do something like that. Even Mus even said something about how risky it was after the fact, but he was like, yes, that's what seemed to be working. And the odd thing about it was you would assume that would really hurt you on the defensive end and help you on the offensive end, but it actually kind of reversed it. It was kind of weird, but ultimately, again, it all worked out, which is, again, feather in his cap. Good call.
The fact that Adriel only played 18 minutes in that game, I mean, pretty impressive. I mean, he's like crazy. Our defensive anchor. But what I like about Mus is that I feel like some coaches just have, okay, this is the game plan and we're not deterring from it. He just goes with seriously what's working. Like the guard piece of it is working. We're going to roll with it. Like that's awesome to me. He puts his pride to the side. I feel like with Bielema, he was so, we got stuck with this is how it is and you're just going to deal with it. It's going to work out eventually. No, Mus rolls with it, man. I love it.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was in his post-game press conference he said, but he said something. He was just talking about the flow of the game and how something was happening on the court, and they were running a specific offense that took time to develop because they wanted to eat up clock and not get up quick shots. And just when he was going through that and talking about all of that, it made me realize, you know, I watched the game. I'm sure, you know, I shouldn't be better than this because I'm just a normal fan, but I could just tell that the way that he experiences a game and the flow is so much drastically next level to the way that I experience it. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, we really need a bucket this possession. And he's like thinking, it's like playing someone with chess where they're 10 moves ahead of you. It seems like he's just that next level of paying attention to what's happening in the game and already thinking about slowing stuff down or speeding things up or making adjustments that you can see that when he starts talking about the game. He just really has a mind that's so far advanced, you know, what we see, which is cool. You know, I love when he lets us into his mind a little bit like that. And you kind of see his true skills as for coaching. You know, he's just good. We really got lucky, I think, with Mus.
Yeah.
I really do. Because I don't think anybody really saw this coming. In fact, you know, when he was hired, everyone was looking at Kelvin Sampson, right?
Isn't that his name? Oh,
how's
yeah.
he doing? Let's go check in on Kelvin.
How was old Kelvin doing? What's your guess?
I have no idea. He's with Houston still, right?
I would say he's probably lost two games.
So, yes, they are currently sitting at 12-3, and they are first in the American, I guess it's just the American Conference. Let's see. They lost versus BYU, close game. They lost versus Oklahoma State, and they lost at Oregon. So, they're doing just fine.
Let's break down this. I know a lot of people are going to listen to this after the LSU game. We'll see if I'm right. I'm just looking through LSU's games. LSU's a good team.
They are
right?
a good team.
They are.
You can tell it.
They beat a good Tennessee team in Knoxville. They're 9-4. And when they win games, well, they're a good 3-point shooting team, and they shoot really well from the free throw line. I mean, they shot 48% against Tennessee from three, but they also allowed Tennessee to shoot 50% from three. So that's bodes well for us.
Mm-hmm.
But in the games that they've lost to Utah State, who was ranked. They beat them and lost to USC. And when they did drop those games, they turned the ball over, you know, 15, 16 times. And typically they're not turning the ball over a lot. This is a team that doesn't turn the ball over a lot, and we really rely on them. They only had 8 turnovers at Tennessee. But the games that they're losing is when they have turnovers close to 15. Mm. So I think that's the mark. If we get 15 turnovers against LSU, and also they shot really poorly from three in one of their games that they lost, if we can contain their three-point shooting like we have, and I feel really good about that. I feel very confident we can hold their three-point shooting below. I think that's the key to beating them, is because they're a really good offensive team. They don't have a lot of size. That's typically what scares me. They have a 6'9" guy.
Yep. That was going to be one of my observations. It seems like height-wise, they're not as intimidating,
right,
as others.
Great shooting team. So that's my key, is we gotta get them to turn it over 15 times. Hold them, limit them on three-pointers, and don't send them to the line, because we're gonna knock them down from the free throw line. I know we foul too much sometimes. And I think offense is going to work itself out. So I don't think they really pride themselves on a great defensive team. They did force 14 turnovers on Tennessee, but Tennessee had a brand new point guard who like just got in to the team like that week. So he had most of those turnovers from overseas. So
wow.
Those are my keys to the game. See if
got
I'm
it.
Right.
Yeah. 15 turnovers. That's very good.
Hit it.
It's looking like this guy named Darius Days is who I have my eye on. He's leading them in rebounding at the moment, averaging 8 rebounds. But he's not super big. I think he's 6'6". He would be my player to pay attention to. But they have a lot of good players. I mean, that's when you look at their stats, they all kind of contribute with rebounds pretty well. They seem pretty well rounded. So this is going to be a true, you know, it's going to be our toughest test for sure at this point. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
5-point underdog. 5-point underdog. Arkansas is going in, which is fair. ESPN predictor. Take it for what it's worth. 74% chance that LSU wins. So that's pretty hefty.
It's pretty hefty.
I don't know what their computers are saying, but I don't know. I don't feel good about the game, but we'll see.
So if we lose this game, don't be calling for Muss's head on a silver platter. It's going to be okay. It's all right. But the next game against Ole Miss, you know, that could be a little bit different. That's a game that I think we should be favored and probably should win. Got any thoughts or feelings about that Ole Miss game, which is so the LSU game will be on Wednesday at 8. The Ole Miss game will be Saturday, I believe, at 5. So tune in. I'm sure you already will be. But two really big games here early in conference play.
Ole Miss is a good team. They're currently up 10 at halftime against at A&M, 29-19. So A&M is 0-10 on 3-point shooting against Ole Miss. Where was that against Arkansas?
Really?
So, I don't know. Anytime you're on the road in conference play, there's a good chance you're going to lose. I mean, in basketball,
yep,
really good chance you're going to lose on the road. So any road game that Arkansas wins is a huge plus in my mind. You split these two games, that's a huge win. I would even expect losing both of them, to be honest with you. I know that sounds crazy, but that's where I'm at.
Could
happen.
Where my head's at. Yeah, Ole Miss really hasn't. I mean, they beat Penn State, but they haven't really beat anyone that appears great to my quick analysis. The four games that they've lost so far have been to Memphis, Oklahoma State, 24-ranked Butler at the time, and 24-ranked Wichita State, there we go, at the time. So, you know, they've lost to ranked opponents, three ranked opponents, and Oklahoma State, which is, you know, typically has a really good program. So Ole Miss, you know, you might look at them and say they have four losses, but they're to pretty quality opponents. But when you haven't beat anyone great, that's, you never know. So you're right. We could lose both. Again, I think it isn't reason to sound the alarm yet.
Nope.
So don't freak out, guys. If it's okay if we lose these two road games. It happens. Hopefully we won't. I mean, we could go 1-1. That would be great. Really, realistically, that would be great if we go 1-1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a huge win.
And I would say if we happen to lose them both, then we better show up that next Wednesday against Vanderbilt for sure. That's going to be kind of big time. If we don't beat them, that would be really alarming at that point if we lost those three in a row. So it doesn't feel likely, though. I think the team's got its head on its shoulders. Seems like things are going well. And, you know, we're just a good team. That's the thing. And I feel like Buzz Williams kind of mentioned that. He said that basically we play where any of our players, we're kind of positionless in a lot of ways. Mason Jones lines up at the four, you know, in the four spot, and yet he's the one in a lot of, like, we just shift around so much with our positions. You know, I assume that is difficult to guard, and it speaks to kind of the way our team works. It seems like each person knows their role. Buzz even says it seems like they each know where they're going to shoot from. It's almost like Muss has told them, don't shoot from here. It's like they know where each of their strong points are, and they let them operate there, and they don't let them kind of do what they're weak at, so that makes it predictable for the offense and for rebounding and stuff. That would make sense to me, you know?
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm just trying to enjoy it. It's just nice to win again, man.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know you know. So hockey, let's move on to hockey just for a bit. They had their two games at home canceled. So if you're planning to go, I don't know exactly why, you know, it's probably not a good good thing. I don't know if it's the other team or them. They didn't really say, but it could be the economy. It could be that 2020 is a bad year for them. Who knows? But if you are planning to go see them, think otherwise. Hopefully, we will have more opportunities for you to wear your jersey and support them. They said that they would be traveling at their next set of games. So that will be pushed. So just FYI. And finally, let's talk a little bit about football. So probably the biggest news, the staff is complete. We've got all 11 coaches on payroll, I would assume. And I pretty much already know this, but Chad pretty much feels the exact same way that he has for the past 24 months about the football program at large. We just got to see it at this point. I'm not going to be one that like says, oh, this is the best staff we've ever had. Who? I don't know. We don't know anything. We know what we've hired, I guess, but we don't know how those guys will do. Probably one of the more interesting observations I have about the staff is that it seemed like he targeted coaches at different levels that could potentially attract players from all different kinds of players. For instance, he got a running back coach who was a head coach in Georgia for a high school team. He really turned Cedar Grove into like this powerhouse football program. And he then was at Georgia State, or, you know, a small school, and now got his, you know, big opportunity here with Arkansas. And, you know, that guy has really, you know, he's kind of your more high school coach. And then you have Ryan, I think his name's Ryan Rhodes, who came from the JUCO, you know, he was forever in JUCO ranks. So he knows those players and is really tied into that. So I don't know. From my perspective, it seems like he made a priority of kind of getting, you know, the full buffet, so to speak, of different coaches at different experience levels. And, you know, we'll just see if that works out. I think that all of his work or coaches that he's bringing in that have experience in Georgia will potentially help us. I don't know how many Georgia kids will want to come all the way to Arkansas to play. That's a pretty long trek. You can't really just have your parents drive to a game at that point. But Georgia is chock full of really good athletes all up and down that state. I am more familiar with high school football there because of my in-laws and my father-in-law. He talks about all the high schools and who's doing good and all of that stuff. So I just know there is a lot of football talent there, and hopefully Pittman made some great connections there, and hopefully a running back coach can really identify the targets that are still talented, kind of the diamonds in the rough there, because there's a lot of diamonds in the rough in Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you say. I'm excited, I guess. I don't know. I've heard so many good things about Chad Morris, so I gotta see it. He sounds nice. I'm glad I haven't heard the yes sir in a while, so
it's good. Yeah, me too. Yeah, glad that's slightly seems to have calmed down a bit. He's throwing out a ton of offers today. Specifically, we've offered it seems like 20 or so new offers today. So they're definitely, seems like so far too, they're really bringing in they're focusing on defensive talent. Like right now, if I'm not mistaken, we might have one offensive lineman that I can think of, but other than him, I think everybody we have committed or signed is on defense. If Darren Turner from Memphis plays defense, he can play either wide receiver or like a defensive back. So I don't know what he'll play with us, but you know, I guess if he's offense, he'd be the other offensive guy. But it's crazy how you can tell that they see holes on the defensive side of the ball, because they are, that's who we're going after right now. So hopefully that's the right ticket to kind of see improvement next year. I can't imagine that could hurt us. I feel like defense is the side of the ball that you have to have more bodies on. I feel like offense controls the game. You know, the offense knows the play. The defense is the one that has to react to everything. So you got to put more emphasis on those defensive players, in my mind.
You know what's coming, Tommy?
I have no idea what's coming.
Baseball is coming.
Oh, I did know that.
Oh, man.
Nothing new with baseball, though, right? We got anything?
There's nothing, nothing new with baseball. I mean, we're about a little over a month away. We got our first game. Oh, Valentine's Day. Perfect.
What?
So we're a month and a week away. It's a Friday. What better way to take the love of your life to a 3 o'clock game on Valentine's Day on a Friday against Eastern Illinois, the Panthers.
You know that they've got to be thinking of creative things to do with the fans on Valentine's Day. Come on, like somebody better be proposed to.
Right. Then we got, this can't be right. It says there's a 4-game stretch against Gonzaga. Pretty cool.
Hmm. Gonzaga is one of those schools that I have no idea where it's at. I feel like I should know, but I have no clue where Gonzaga is at.
It's in Washington State.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Playing Little Rock again. They smoked us last year. It didn't matter, really, but playing them again, this time here. I think we played them in Little Rock last time. I think. Could be wrong. Missouri State, playing UAPB. I don't know. Cool stuff. It'll be good. I am excited about baseball.
Me too. I'm sure that we will have plenty of baseball coverage. That'll be a kind of a priority, I think, for Chad and I to talk about each and every week alongside basketball. So it'll kind of be 1A, 1B probably during most of that season. A lot of fun. We'll of course, sprinkle in some hockey as well. I know that I'll probably try to go to the hockey tournament that they'll have for the conference, the SECHL, I believe is what it is. And I think we might even try to go to the SEC basketball tournament here in Nashville and try to catch some games and maybe figure out something fun to do coming up in March. So fun stuff in store. We'll see what else we can get cooked up for y'all. So Chad, how about them Titans? Are they tightening up?
How about those Titans? Man, big win, Tommy. I'm a Titans fan. So a lot of turmoil over the past 20 years for me, but big win in Foxborough. If you didn't know previously up until that game, we were 0-8 in Foxborough. And so we go into New England in the playoffs, 6 seed, and we beat them. Derrick Henry was fantastic. Nearly 200 yards rushing. That guy is a human cheat code, Tommy. He's fantastic. He's awesome. Taking on the Baltimore Ravens this Saturday at 7:15. Obviously, Ravens arguably one of the best teams in the NFL. The one seed in the AFC. Got Lamar Jackson. Got a great running game. Good defense. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I'm feeling good. This is our Super Bowl right here, Tommy. If we win this game, we basically are Super Bowl champs.
But I see your point. But I don't know about that. Derrick Henry won the Heisman, right?
He did.
Thought he
and
did.
He also won the NFL rushing crown this year and didn't even play in all 16 games. He sat one out.
Yikes. Was he suspended for PEDs?
Oh my goodness. No, he was
he's banged up.
Nursing an injury. So but look at him. Can't tell now.
No, he looks strong. He looks very built and strong. And poor Marcus Mariota. Is he still even on the team?
Yep.
He's on the bench, yeah. That's odd.
This is his contract year.
Awkward.
He got benched.
Awkward.
He came on the field. He made one appearance during the playoff game. Did you see it?
No.
You probably didn't.
No. I am not a Titans fan. I don't need another mediocre team in my life. I have the
mediocre?
Razorbacks to give me
Super
the heartbreak.
Champs.
It's all I can take. Is Arkansas fandom takes up all of the heartbreak I have in me, and I can't take an ounce more. So Titans,
listen,
you're out. The only way the Titans can win my heart is if they were to draft like 25% of their team. Nah, that's too extreme. If they were to at least draft 10, 10% is too long. Just a couple draft picks for Arkansas, I'd be happy. But they never give me a a reason to root for them ever.
This is like Arkansas beating Alabama in a bowl game, Tommy. Like this is the Arkansas. I mean, Tennessee Titans going to Foxborough and beating the Patriots, who won the Super Bowl last year. This is like Arkansas beating if they played Alabama in a bowl game. That's how big this was for me.
But the Patriots weren't that great this year, right?
I mean, they were a win away from getting the first round bye, and they won the Super Bowl last year.
Okay. Come on. That's fair. That's fair.
People could say Alabama wasn't that great this year.
They could. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, maybe that is a perfect comp in a way. That actually makes a lot of sense.
So we will see what happens. Oh, Mariota. He made one appearance. So you quickly got disinterested. Very quickly, I'm bringing you back. Titans were up by 1 point. Patriots had the ball on their. It was the best punt in franchise history. Down it at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Titans up one with like less than 2 minutes to go, maybe less than a minute to go. Brady throws a pick six. It was awesome. He should have fallen down when going back and looking at it, but he scored. We were excited. So then that puts us up 7. Right, so if you kick the extra point, hypothetically, they go down and score, they can tie it. So it's like, all right, let's go for two. So to confuse the other team, we threw Mariota out there, and they called the timeout. And then we put Mariota back on the bench, and Tannehill went out there, and we didn't get it. But yeah. Still 1-7.
Well, okay. It's probably best just to keep Marcus Mariota off the field permanently. That's my takeaway there. Just seems like he's a bearer of bad news, bringer of bad things, something like that.
Yeah, it's pronounced Mariota, but you can call him whatever you want.
Mark Mariota. He is a really good a person, though. I've heard great stories. He's a super great guy. He was just like Jake Locker, really great guy.
Oh, geez. And Matt Hasselbeck,
great guy.
He's a great locker room guy.
Ryan Tannehill, haven't heard a single good thing about him.
I haven't either. This is what's going to happen.
Texas A&M, right? He was Texas A&M's quarterback. Like, he's an Aggie.
He's not good. But, I mean, he's looked outstanding the last half of this year. So what I'm afraid they're going to do is just all chips on the table, max buyout deal. Like, we're giving Tannehill 10 years, $200 million, you know, something stupid.
They probably will. That's the Titan way.
Terrible. Let me enjoy my moment, though.
Well, enjoy it, Chad. I'm glad your team is doing well. Hopefully the Razorbacks can have a great season in 2020 as well. Dawn of a new decade.
That's right.
I think we will, from a football perspective, you know what? Everything but baseball, basically, even basketball, it's like, nothing really great happened there, too. Let's put the 2010s to bed. Let's just get it out, and let's start something better. Please, Razorbacks, let's figure this out.
Stuff in baseball, kinda.
We also had huge heartbreak, but yeah, ultimately more good than bad. We set ourselves up for hopefully a dynasty. Let's keep it rolling. Well, all right, Chad. Appreciate your time today.
Absolutely.
And whoopig suey.
Whoopig suey, Tom.
Have a great week.
You have a great week.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter @humble_podcast and on Instagram @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!